After singing that song, then that is the song of the people group that Susan and I worked with for so many years. So Dimele Kalalom Shumayelo, Ngoku ni bulis and gegama lish le liki Yesu Christu. Therefore, I must greet you in the Xhosa language and saying, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just a joy. And we, that song in the Zulu or Xhosa original, it's we are marching. And the church will get up and start marching. Everyone marches down the aisles and gets up and just has a great time worshiping the Lord. And so we just really enjoyed doing this number here with the choir. Okay, well, let's see what the Lord's Word can teach us today. Have you ever changed your mind about something? Yeah, I think all of us have changed our minds about something. Now, a lot of times it doesn't cause much of a stir, but sometimes the results can be life-changing. And so as we'll look today at a story of where someone changed their perspective, they changed their mind about something, and we'll look at the impact of that. Now, today's message is going to be done in the form of a storytelling, reviewing Acts chapter 10, and Peter and Cornelius and that interaction. And then after reviewing that story, there are some lessons, and I didn't actually look close at the communication card they handed us, but the points on there are some lesson points that we'll get to more as we after we tell the story part of this message. I put down one example of changing my mind. As missionaries, we used to organize ourselves in missions or groups, like in a geographic area of a country, and we would use Robert's Rules of Order to order our business when we would get together once a year. And so you can't just talk about things. There's got to be a motion and then discussion and then a vote. And so one year I made a motion. I don't even remember what it was about. I made a motion, let's do this. And then we had discussion on the motion. And then when it came to motion, they said yay and nay. And when they had the nays, I put my hand up. And they said, wait a minute, you're the one who made the motion. You can't vote against your own motion. And I said, I changed my mind. Okay, and that was okay in that situation, though others had some fun with me about changing my mind. Okay, but let's look at the church. We can't just change our mind willy-nilly about the things of God, but there are times to reassess and reconsider our faith, and upon those foundations of truth that we have, are there new perspectives that we may need to adopt in our lives? Now, the book of Acts is the story of the early church. We see in the book of Acts the expansion of the church numerically, geographically, ethnically. It grew from a small group of Jewish believers in Jerusalem to a multi-ethnic church that covered many countries around the Mediterranean that numbered in total in the many thousands. And so that many changes took place along the way and some reconsiderations of what it meant to be a Christian and how to live that out. And so we see in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 were added in that day. We see in Acts 8 the dispersion of the church when the persecution began after the stoning of Stephen. And then Acts 10 was a crossing over of the ethnic boundary from Jews to Gentiles that we'll look at. Then Acts 13 was the launch of the first of three missionary journeys that Paul and others made and that saw the church expand around the Mediterranean area. And so as we focus today on Acts 10, we'll see what happened that day, that time, that brought a change in the church that was really earth-shaking and has a lot to do with who we are sitting here today in our worship. And this change required a reassessment. But let's look at the story. Okay, the main characters here are Peter and Cornelius. Now, Peter, we know, a Jewish background. He was a disciple of Jesus, a leader in the early church. He was still very much influenced by his Jewish heritage. He believed in holding on to the law that he had been given as a way to honor and know the Lord. But then also he had met Jesus in that vision on the road that he had, and how that changed his life, and how he saw Jesus as that Messiah that the Jewish people were looking for. So he became a follower of Jesus, later called Christians. But he still believed that at that point, Jews should stay pure to their understanding of God. And Gentiles were the uncircumcised people that didn't really care at all to follow the law. Some may try to be good people, but they weren't like the Jews, and the Jews were to stay in their way of honoring the Lord. That's Peter's base belief as he became a believer and follower of Christ. And then there's Cornelius. He represented the Romans, the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, the occupiers of the land where the Jewish people lived. And so they were not particular friends of the Jews. And there was a great separation that would be hard to overstate that separation. There's a hard line between them when it came especially to personal matters. They separated themselves socially and religiously. So that's the background. But we'll find out how God worked in this situation. So to tell this story today, I'll read a couple passages and kind of just narrate the rest. So it Acts chapter 10, and if you want to follow along some, and there are, if you don't have your own Bible or have one on your phone or tablet or something, there are Bibles in the windows around the edge. You can have someone hand you one and follow along as you would like. It's just a bit long passage to cover all of it. Okay, 10:1. At Caesarea, there's a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. He had one day at about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that happened and sent them to Joppa. So here is the foundation of the story. God didn't start by speaking to Peter, the man of God, but spoke to a Gentile, someone just outside of the considered sphere of those that God worked with. Weren't the Jewish people the chosen ones of God? Why did God speak to Cornelius? Well, Cornelius had a heart that was open to God, even though he wasn't a Jewish man. He prayed to God. He gave gifts to God. And we find that he was friendly with those that he was there for his job and purpose as a centurion, but he was a friend of the Jews. So God spoke to him and set in motion an amazing series of events. So what happened next? God wasn't done working through visions. Next, he spoke to Peter. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that the Lord has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back into heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. Okay, God was not at work just in one person in one place, but he spoke to Peter. And this change, vision that Peter had was a very different thing for Peter, who followed the Jewish dietary laws laid out in Leviticus and visited in other places. The foods that could be eaten and could not be eaten. Not all four-footed animals could be eaten. I grew up on a farm in Iowa and Illinois, and we raised pigs. But the Jewish people would not want to eat pigs at all. But we enjoy a pork sausage or pork chops, don't we? Pork barbecue. Okay? Hey, we wouldn't fit in that Jewish world that Peter came from. Okay, so Peter had his vision, and he was confronted with something. Now, we don't know when the change began to come about, just exactly, though it says that when the visitors arrived, he invited them into the house of Simon the Tanner to stay overnight. He invited some Gentile soldiers to stay in his house. Hey, that was really a big thing that he did. But and the next day, the story goes on. It says that he started his walk. It was about 35 miles from Joppa to Caesarea, where they ended up. Took a second day to get there. But he went with them, with these Gentile people. And he brought along some others with him from Joppa, where he was. And so he met Cornelius. And Cornelius said, "Well, you know, God said to have you come and speak to us." And then Peter started revealing the change that was taking place in his perspective, this reassessment, where he said in verse 28, and he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit any one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." And there was a bit more interchange, and then he really restated this again in verse 34, where Peter said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Oh, what a statement to come out of the mind or out of the mouth of an early Jewish Christian. What an amazing statement. Peter would have said that he had every right to keep that boundary between him and Cornelius, between Jewish believers in Jesus and others. Yeah, you know, others that were not God's chosen people. Peter would have said that to know Jesus is to know the law and to know God and respect him through keeping the law, through the males being circumcised. This is the path of knowing God. Here is how you can be introduced to Jesus and move forward in life. But no, another path was chosen, and Peter chose that path, and he then went forth and preached. He preached to all those in Cornelius' house. And guess what? The Holy Spirit came as a sign of those receiving Jesus into their lives. And it said that those who were with Peter found an amazing thing, that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. This is, again, something surprising. But since Peter saw that they had received the Holy Spirit and responded to the gospel, Peter said, well, what keeps them from being baptized? And they were baptized then at that time. And so that draws that story together. That's the experience that happened. And it's just an amazing story of visions and amazing connections that God made through calling Peter to go to Cornelius. The gospel was preached and there was great response. And so what a wonderful story. But what we want to focus on is some lessons that we can draw out from the story. And the greatest will be that reassessment that Peter made. But let's take them in order. The first lesson I'd like us to see is that we should stay true to foundational truth. Now, in our lives, as we look for lessons from this, you know, we need to understand our faith. We need to understand God's Word, what it says about it, who God is, who Jesus is, what it takes to understand who Jesus is, repent of our sins, and then have belief in God through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us. And that's the way to set a foundation and then to live out our Christian life. And then we need to follow and live on that word. You know, Peter had that foundation in his life, that Jewish background. He grew up respecting and honoring God. And then when Jesus revealed Himself to him in that vision on the road to... confusing with Paul. When Peter when Jesus revealed Himself to Peter through Christ and His teaching, then he began to follow Christ and know who He was. But he came at it through his Jewish background. Peter had those practices that kept his faith renewed. And so when he faced this moment, he didn't compromise that foundation of faith that he had. Yet he understood God in a new and fuller and different way. So how can we face times when we say, hey, is there a different approach needed? You know, do we need to rethink? What does it mean to be a Christian? You know, we talked in our Sunday school class this morning how we best can relate to people of different types so that we can have a Christian influence in their lives. And there's some things that as Christians that we may not say, well, this we shouldn't absolutely do this or not do that. Yet for a particular situation, we can modify our behavior so that we can have an influence for the gospel. And so we have to find out what, based on the Word and based on the foundations of our faith, you know, what can give and take, and what may God be showing us in a new way where we can open up a new chapter in our own life through a new calling or open up a new ministry opportunity for ourselves, for the gospel to go to people that it hasn't gone to up until now in our home, in our community, wherever God would have us have influence. So that's the first point. Be true to our foundational truth with a capital T. And then the second one is be open to critical reassessment of your beliefs. Yeah, to think things through again, to a possible change of mind. You know, Peter made a major change in his understanding of what God is about in the world. Peter came into this situation believing that the gospel was for the Jewish people only. And he had good reasoning, good understanding to think that way. Jesus belonged to the Jewish people. But how did that critical change happen? How did it come about? I've just did some thinking, but I think I'm on very solid ground. You can judge and listen to me here. So what triggered it was the vision. You know, Peter had that vision that where he felt strongly, you know, this is God speaking to me. And an angel spoke to him, an angel of the Lord. And it said, don't count unclean what I am saying is clean. And it wasn't just about the food, was it? He had a meaning. And Peter then transferred the meaning of that vision to the situation that he was living in. And he was saying, maybe I ought to take a second look at this situation. And based on what could he have done that? Well, look at Peter's foundation, what he had to think about already, and his background. He could think back to the Bible they had, the Old Testament of that time, and think of the promise that was given to Abraham, that through Abraham, all peoples would be blessed. You know, not just the Jewish people, but all people. And then through Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 56, where it says, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations." Okay, well, that's not just the Jews, is it? And then think of the ministry of Jesus himself, how he healed the daughter of a Canaanite woman who Jesus chastised. And why have you come to me? You're an outsider. And Jesus said, well, even the dogs can eat crumbs from under the table. And Jesus said, because of your faith, I'll help you. What do you want? I want my daughter healed. And he healed that daughter. And then Jesus' parable of the wineskins, where Jesus said, you can't put old wine in new wineskins, or new in old wineskins, or they'll burst. But new wine, the gospel, the new way, belongs in new hearts. It belongs in new ways of thinking. And so I think Peter reflected on these things. And he said, well, you know, maybe the God that I came to know in the way that I did, and the Jesus that I've come to know, maybe he wants me to include the Gentiles. Maybe there's something new here. And the change came in his life. And we see the result of that change here in Acts 10. But have you ever thought of that? That's because of what happened in Acts 10. That's why we're sitting here today as Gentiles. Now, maybe there's a few of us who have a Jewish heritage. I'm not quickly aware of that here. But we are all outsiders to the Jewish foundation of the Christian faith. Yet God has seen fit to extend us grace. And that could be a message in itself. But I'd want to go back and focus on the change once again. Because we are faced with times in our life where we need to reassess our faith. That doesn't mean we always change. Not any new thing that pops up and we say, oh, we'll jump on that bandwagon. Or we'll just incorporate that into our faith. No, we need to be true to our foundations, to truth. But we also need to reassess. We need to relook our faith. Or else it can become set in channels. It can become legalistic. But we need to take time now and then to reassess our faith and where it's going. You know, there's this man named Martin Luther. One day he started thinking, no, this way of the Catholic Church that I'm experiencing, it's not meeting all my needs. And through his search of the Scripture, he came to a more proper understanding of Scripture, and he went and nailed 95 statements of truth to the wall of the church, and he said, no, I don't think I come into right relationship with Jesus Christ through rituals that I have to do. No, it's by grace through faith and what Jesus did for me. He is my righteousness. And by doing that, he opened the door of the Reformation, as we know it, back in the early, mid-1500s. And then there was William Carey. Hopefully many of you have at least heard his name. In May of 1792, God worked in him to preach a sermon. And some of the quote or message that came out of that sermon where he said, we should expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And he went on to talk about missions, a missionary movement. And of course, you're talking to a missionary, retired missionary. And it was from that time is the root of the modern missionary movement. And starting then, people began to organize missionary organizations. And it was the first time where they employed people to go to the heathen nations and to carry the gospel to other people. But it was William Carey who posited this idea. And when he saw God in a different light after reassessing his faith, he changed his mind about how the church should approach their work. And the result is the modern missions movement, which we as Baptists, Southern Baptists related, keep strong in who we are, in our identity. So, and then just quickly for myself, where did I have some major reassessments of faith? Well, first, when I was 17, I had grown up in the church. I knew a lot about the Bible, but I hadn't received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when someone challenged me to do that, saying, I need to make that actual decision, not just accept in general that Jesus was a good person, but I had to make him my Lord and Savior. And when that was told to me, it took me about 48 hours to think through it. And I thought, I need to make that personal decision for Christ and tie that down. So that was certainly noteworthy in my life and essential. And then my understanding of God's love for the world and calling to me to share my faith through missions, that happened in college when I had the example of someone who had gone on a 2-year mission endeavor and come back and spoke to our college Christian group. And for the first time in my life, I thought, what keeps me from doing that? I'm just a farm boy, and I'm majoring in agriculture. I plan to go back and farm with my father, but hey, maybe I ought to consider this. So I went overseas in 2 years, did agricultural work, and that launched me into a lifetime of missions work. Very key to me. So those are just some examples of times of reassessments in my life. So what about you? Where have been some times in your life where you've made some reassessments, some recalibrations of what you know about God, the truth that you have and you've understood, and maybe you need to correct that truth or maybe add to that truth and getting a fuller picture of what God is about? And I pray that that has led you to make decisions for God and accepting Him as Lord and Savior. But along the path, I pray that it's led you to refocus and recalibrate and open your lives to things that God has for you. I think this is the best application or highest application, but not the only one today, that we can make. So I just leave that. I wish we could share and talk about that. But you'll have that time for decision as you may be making that in your heart now, where you need to recalibrate. But let's continue to be true to this story and passage. So after staying true to his foundation of truth and then recalibrating his truth, then Peter was obedient. He followed his truth with his actions. So after he made that change of heart, he made a change of action. So what did Peter do? Well, specifically, he invited non-Jews to stay in the household that he was staying in overnight. And again, I talked about that. That was a pretty big thing. Then he went when a Gentile person called him for spiritual reasons. But much more than that, when he was there, he preached the gospel to them. And that was crossing a real boundary. I'm going to go back to that story just for a second. If you read that in Acts 10, the gospel that he preached, it was full of Jewish things. He talked about the Jewish people and the Jewish area and referred to the Messiah who was Jewish. I mean, he didn't know how to preach to Gentiles. He just told that Jewish story, but it spoke to the Gentiles. But he stepped across that boundary from Jews to Gentiles. So he was obedient. He did what God told him to do. And even saying, well, let's let these people be baptized because the Holy Spirit has evidently come into their lives. And you know, when we hear things from God, we need to match it with our obedience. I think that's one of the great weaknesses of the Christian church in many places of the world today. We have a lot of knowledge up here, and we'll say Jesus is Lord, but there's some boundaries we're not too quick to cross because we're not sure about things, or we're embarrassed about things, or it would call for a lot of real change in my life. You know, think of that early church, the Jewish people taking the Gentiles in. Could they have the same style of worship with people who didn't have the same background and had different interests and different ways of showing respect and honor? Yeah, that was a challenge. But again, we need to be obedient. John 15:10 says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command. You are my friends if you do what I command. Then in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And a few verses later, says, faith without works is dead. So there needs to be obedience. Allow God to speak to you, but then go out and act on it in the ways that you need to do that. So what has God shown you lately that you may not have acted on up till now? God said, hey, I should go across the street. I mean, that neighbor's pretty different from me, but I think I need to say hello to him. Or I haven't had courage to speak in such and such a setting before, but maybe I ought to try a little harder because I see that God has really been urging me in this and I need to be obedient. Okay, I see that my time is going, so I need to move towards closing this up. And I'll just mention, I was going to put an extra one in. You can check this one out when you get home. A fourth one that's not even on your outline is, be prepared to defend your actions. Be prepared to take some heat once in a while. Because in the next chapter, chapter 11, Peter had to explain himself to others that said, why did you go to those Gentiles? But you go and do that. But sometimes we have to take some heat. That's all I'll say, for the decisions and actions that we take when we reassess. Okay, so to close this out, so what do we need to do? We need to nurture our faith. We need to keep those foundations of faith strong in us. Know what truth is. Keep growing in that. But we need to be open and seek the fullness of God's revelation for us. Yeah, boy, if God showed you everything all at one time in the past and you got it all, you couldn't manage it. No, He is progressively showing us things. So let's be open to that. And then we need to be obedient and follow up with what God says. Okay, so what are some, I'll close with two applications here. It goes from individual to church. Okay, we're coming closer to making a decision about the future of the church. Are we going to pretty much stay as we are? Are we going to try to do things within ourselves and find a better way forward to make our church more viable for the future, more effective in our community? Or might we consider this joining with the coastal church in partial or full? You know, it calls for reassessment. It calls for a personal reassessment of what God is saying in your life. But then we as a congregation need to come together. And so I'll just leave it that. That is for the Lord to work in you and the Lord to work through all of us as we have our conversations together. And then our Village Green initiatives. You know, we haven't heard as much about that lately because we've been seeing the building progress as far as the building, and we've been taken up with coastal issues, but the Village Green initiatives are how we are going to connect more effectively with our community. That's going to talk about crossing some boundaries. Okay, so it's going to come to us. How are we going to cross various boundaries and be effective for God? Again, not time to elaborate, not for me to tell you how to do that. But those are areas that we need to be thinking about. So thankful for what the Lord spoke through me. I pray that it speaks to you today, and I'm thankful. So, okay, as we come to time of closing and invitation, maybe the Lord has spoken about something today that you need to make a bit more public. You can come up to the front and visit with me. You can find others in this room that you can visit with about major decisions. You may just need to put that stake down. Be obedient in the way of saying, hey, I need help on working on this in my life. So I'll be at the front if I can be of help for you for prayer at this time. Thank you.